is that he is a master of his mind under all circumstances. As his income and reputation ride on a single golf swing, he achieves a meditative calmness in which he performs perfectly. Even when he is off his game, he still maintains that degree of coolness envied by most golfers. He has an inner assurance, an inner knowing, indeed. It is but a game. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Let's repeat this statement that I've just made about Tiger Woods here. One reason Tiger Woods is such a folk hero is that he is a master of his mind under all circumstances. Even though his income and reputation ride on the single swing of his golf club, he achieves a meditative calmness in which he performs perfectly. Even when he is off his game, he still maintains that degree of coolness envied by most golfers. He has an inner assurance, knowing indeed it is but a game. Now, we can look at this young Tiger Woods. He's just out of his teens. Fantastic young man. He had everything against him, youth, experience, everything else, but he had one thing for him. He's good. He's good. Now, what was it that made him good? To digress a moment, there's another young lady who is 13 who is equally good with her tennis, and she plays fantastically well. And she also plays golf. And when she plays golf with people, and she takes her club and she hits the ball and the club connect with such a resounding, perfect togetherness that the ball goes exactly where she wants it to go. Exactly where she wants it to go. 13 years old and she's on top of it. Now, she doesn't have the same meditative calm that our friend Tiger Woods has. But she does have what is something that we as metaphysicians and as practitioners would love to have. She has one-pointedness. She looks at her ball. She looks at her club. She looks at the position that she wants that ball to be in the next time she sees it. And so it is. Her club dances to the right vibrations and rhythm to put that ball right where she wants it. Now this is not an art. This is a skill, a learned skill, to recognize that when you see something and you want to accomplish something, you see what you want to accomplish already being done. You don't see it as something to be. I was editing a person's course manual the other day, and in there the person said, during the course we will teach this, during the course we will teach that, during the course we will teach the other things. And I thought, that's true, and that's very logical and correct. But what they mean to say is, during the course we teach this. Now we will. We do teach it. We teach these things. Now, you say that's a very subtle difference. Yeah. But it's the subtle little differences between success and failure, between the expression of genius and the expression of an ordinary person. Now, everyone can be an ordinary person. We've come out of the bag with that capacity. But only those who are geniuses are those who listen to that inner self that gives them the straight answer every time. Are you willing to listen to your inner self? Are you willing to be like Tiger Woods and you're in the middle of a game, hundreds and thousands of people, that's a little extras, but lots of people running up around the golf course and watching him and breathing as he's breathing and knowing he's going to make the putt or he's going to make the drive or what he's going to do, and having all these consciousness affecting what you are doing, because they're putting their vibrations on your activity. Now,
yes.
Wow. And they're not against you, and they're not for you. You may not be their prince. Their prince may be someone else who's in the force of playing, you know. But the point is, they're thinking their thought about you. And if you allow yourself 1 minute to let their thought control your world, you are a failure. You cannot achieve the goals you want. This is where pride cometh before the fall. Because if you have pride in what you do, I'm so good, I'm so wonderful, then you have a chance to prove that you're really not. But if you get up there and you use a developed skill of inner awareness of who you are, and that what you're doing is merely the expression of the principle or the law, and you are carrying it out in its perfect way. As a man thinketh in his heart, we've heard that one. That's not just a philosophical truism or a religious prattle. That is a fact of life. That is a fact of life that says, whatever we concentrate on, that's what we experience. Whatever we put our attention on, that's what we bring forth in our life. Now, what are we going to bring forth in our life? What sort of things are we going to bring forth? Exactly what we put into motion. It's really amazing. I was thinking, as we were flying back from Farmington, New Mexico yesterday, my plane full of people, we were coming into the San Diego airport. And as we came into the San Diego airport, there were low-flying clouds, and they couldn't see their way. They had no idea where that airport was. They knew it was a general direction west, you know. But they had little gadgets in the airplane, in the cockpit. And these little gadgets told them where the airport was. There's little lights shining, and there is like a box of lights. And you stay in the middle of that box. And you, if you go above it, you get back in the middle. If you go below, you get in the middle. Right and left, you get. And if you stay online, and when you come to the instrument landing, you have to keep your plane in a certain flow. You can see the landing field in the light stream in the instrument before you, and it tells you if you're too high or too low, and you know right where to put it down. You stay right with it. Now, within each one of us, we have this gadget. We have this gadget that will show us when we're too high or too low or too right or too left, and we don't need to worry about it. We just follow it. But to follow it means you have to concentrate on it. You have to give it your 100% attention. If you allow yourself to be diverted, distracted in any way, you'll mess up. You're parking your car next to the curb, and a friend walks by and says, "Hi, how you doing?" And you allow yourself to be distracted, and a crunch, you run into the curb. You know? I was watching a bus at the San Diego airport, a Hertz bus coming in to pick up people to take them to the hotel. And it came in next to the curb, and it had no more than a hair's breadth between it and the curb as it came in. And the driver was busy telling people where, you know, to get off and what, make room and getting the doors to open. And he just slid that in there, as the pilot would say, he greased it on. He just greased it right in. No 15 to 18 inches from the curb, nothing, right tight against the curb. People could walk in, and he didn't scrape the tires, which was really a beautiful thing. Now, that's skill. We were talking yesterday about our autonomic nervous system and how little we use our autonomic nervous system consciously. We use our autonomic nervous system to operate our bodies, our digestive system, our bloodstreams, our hearts, all the functions that go on in our body that we don't think about. Why not start operating our autonomic nervous system to take over other areas? Why not having our autonomic nervous system take over the concept that we're whole and perfect? If our autonomic nervous system were designed to only consistently live in the vibrations and atmosphere of wholeness and perfection, we'd be whole and perfect. If our autonomic nervous system were designed to live in the consciousness of driving, and we're driving down the road and we don't even have to think about it, we're consciously aware, but we're really not consciously aware. That could never be. Well, that is all the time. That is all the time. As I said to the group, I said, it's interesting, but we drive from San Diego to the monastery so often that the trip, instead of getting longer, gets shorter. We don't realize, oh, we're home already. Oh my goodness, where did time go? And zip, 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 because we're in our autonomic service, autonomic system, and it's handling us, and we're moving, we're driving, and we're driving carefully. Now, I would imagine if, as I said yesterday, if we used 100% our autonomic nervous system in our driving habits, we would probably be the most perfect drivers on the road. Because, you see, there's no emotion to go faster or slower. The only thing is to drive whatever is the proper speed for the road and the speed limit. And if you do that, you don't drive in competition to anything. And if everyone were driving according to all the rules of the road, well, what a wonderful road that would be. Well, now, it doesn't matter what other people do. It only matters what we do. And so if we, in our autonomic nervous system, have built into our auto servers the idea that we're driving perfectly and we're driving harmoniously, we're driving within the rules and within the framework of drivers, and if someone cuts off in front of us, there's no emotion involved, we merely slow down and let them have their way. We are not interested in having a race on the road with somebody who is having a race on the road. That's their business. That's their life. We merely want to go from point A to point B and have a glorious trip on the way and perhaps even enjoy the scenery. And to do that, if we were using our autonomic nervous system, how wonderful that'd be. That might make a fantastic topic sometime. But this is what Tiger Woods does. He's using his autonomic nervous system. He is using his genius, his skill that he has built up within him over the years. He didn't become a great golfer just because he said at the age of 14 or 15, I am a great golfer. He became a great golfer because he had already learned to love the game. He had already learned to love playing golf and enjoying it. So naturally, as he did that, and as he told himself, I enjoy this, I'm having fun. Now, let's see. Well, let's just say Tiger Woods' personal attitude toward life was one of dedication, concentration, and all those good things. You see what I mean? If you don't have that, then you can't do what he does, unless you develop what he has. Now, you can develop dedication. You can develop an enthusiasm for the game. How many times have you said, I don't want to play that game. I don't want to play that game. Some child's game that you play. And then your grandson comes along, or your nephew, or somebody that you respect, some little person, and they say, come on, play with me. And you say, sure. And you play not because you want to play the game, but you want to be with the child. You want to be with them. And so then as you play with them, and you share with them the skill that you have as an adult to play games, all of a sudden the game becomes kind of fun. And then little by little, it not only becomes fun, you want to do it now and then yourself. You want to play it. And so you build up a skill. But you see, you never know how you're going to have the drive, the enthusiasm, the choice to play these games, because who knows when some little person is going to come up and say, play a game with me, you know? Right. Now, Ramona's son, Andrew, what is he, 12, 13 years old, he wanted to play this game of this guy who changes forms, you know, it's just a little thing that you, and then they fight each other. And then this guy has his knives and all sorts of stuff that he's playing with. Well, I told him, I said, I have to leave in about 2 minutes. I said, I don't know your game. I'd have to learn your game and so forth. You have to show me what to do. And now when you come visit, you know, you bring your game along, you show it to me, and I'll take some time. We'll learn it together and play it together. I have no interest in playing that game, in playing it with violence and knives and things like that. But I have an interest in playing it with Andrew, because he's just a super kid. And he knows that. He knows that. And I would imagine that before we got 2-3 minutes into that game, we would have revised the game, changed the rules, and changed the characters. But not because I was against him, but because I don't play games of violence. I don't play games of hurting another person or taking from another person. That just is not my life. And Tiger Woods the same way. His game is playing golf. His game is being a master. His game is being very, well, you know, if he were to take that same skill and put it into being a business executive, he'd be super. If he took that skill and put it into being the Pope, he'd be the greatest Pope that ever lived. If he put that skill into being the President of the United States or whatever he wanted to be, he'd be fabulous. And why would he be fabulous? Because that's what it takes. That one-pointed concentration on what you're doing and loving what you're doing and not playing for competition, but playing for your own inner genius. And when we can learn to play all the games of life to our own inner genius, as we said in our opening comment here, he has an inner assurance, knowing indeed it is but a game. So if we can treat all of life but a game, with it's a good game, an important game, but it's just a game. And if we can treat life that way, we will enjoy life very much. So with Tiger Woods, we say, wow, guy, thanks for the lesson. And to each of you, I say, have a happy day. I love you very much. And take this thought for today and just run with it and be so successful and so happy. I love you. I love you. I love you.